Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Dugout Debate Podcast. I'm Tim Hasselbury.
And I'm Chris Kerr.
This week, we talk, what is England sending to Russia? No, not the troops to engage in an all-out war, but instead, what England team will grace Russia for the World Cup in 2018? We hope you enjoy. Right, Chris, so let's start off where it makes sense. At the back, goalkeepers. Who are you taking?
So the three goalkeepers that I selected in my squad were Jordan Pickford, Jack Butland, and Nick Pope.
Interesting.
At the start of the season, I would have easily had Fraser Forster in there, but he's actually obviously lost his place at Southampton to McCarthy, and he's had a pretty poor season by his very high standards.
And that's the fact that Southampton have also been absolutely terrible.
Yeah, exactly. And he's been injured for large parts of it as well. So I don't think he's the kind of keeper that you want to be taking to the World Cup. And the other name that's being obviously bounded around in there is Joe Hart. But for me, the stats to back it up are Joe Hart's made four errors leading to conceding this season, which is more than all the rest of those keepers combined. And he's also only just kept four clean sheets, which, again, is not just his fault. It's West Ham's fault as well. But yeah, I really don't have the confidence in Joe Hart to be the keeper that we want at the World Cup. So that's why I've gone for those guys, because I think Nick Pope's had a fantastic season for Burnley. Pickford's been good at Everton, and Jack Butland, who I've liked for quite some time, I think's had a pretty decent season for Stoke despite a few errors.
So there are quite a few things to pick up from there. Let's talk about Joe Hart. I don't think Joe Hart should be going either. My three would be Pickford, Butland, and Pope. Hart, he could be good in a sort of team spirit sense, but we saw back in 2016 when England were eliminated from the Euros just how amped up and hyped he was before that Iceland game.
Yeah.
And there gets a point where you become like over aroused before a match.
Yeah.
And I think he definitely went over that limit, and there were definitely big errors that he was party to in that Iceland game, and eventually led to England being knocked out of the tournament.
Yeah.
And you can have the argument, well, Joe Hart's nice and experienced and he can lend his experience to all the players there. Well, what experience exactly is this that we're talking about?
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Ability to be knocked out in the World Cup or the Euros every time in a knockout game without winning one. I'm fine with not having that experience there. Joe Hart's been a great keeper. He's a great shot stopper. He pulls off all these spectacular saves quite often, but not quite often enough this season, and his save percentage this season of just 57.83% is not brilliant.
Yeah, I think his best days are definitely behind him. He was meant to be in his prime when we had that failure against Iceland, so for him to have performed as badly as he did in that tournament, I think he doesn't really deserve to have another chance. As you say, the experience is the only thing that you'd possibly say, oh, none of the rest of those keepers are experienced at this level. But how else do you learn, I guess? Just chuck them in and see what they can do.
Yep. Fraser Forster, another interesting conversation. He didn't really make any of my considerations because he was never on my list. Can you be too big to be a goalkeeper? Because I think he might be too big to be a goalkeeper.
I know what you're saying.
He's 6'7", built like a brick.
Yeah.
And agility has often been one of his, let's say, minor to major talking points.
Yeah, he certainly fills the goal, but I know what you're saying. He doesn't actually get down to the low shots in the corner as maybe a Jordan Pickford does, who is an agile player in that. I guess the halfway house between them is actually Jack Butland, who's a mixture of the two.
He is, yeah. Let's talk about Nick Pope for a bit, shall we?
Yeah.
So in the stats that I've got here, after 30 games, he had a save percentage of 80%, which is outrageous if you think about it, especially when comparing it to the other players. Jack Butland, 68.68%, and Jordan Pickford, 67.27%, roughly the same. But if you have a look at Burnley and how they've performed this season, the way they've played is block the middle and just deal with crosses as they come in.
Yeah.
So I think I'm pretty sure that for quite a long period of the season, if not currently still, I haven't actually checked this, but they've been blocking shots like no other team. So they've been reducing the number of chances, so the shots that actually make it through to Nick Pope may be going a mile an hour after being deflected and he just picks it up, or they've got to be, they're so good he's forced into a save down the centre of the goal where they're allowed the shots rather than at the edges. So 80% is ridiculously high, but is that overinflated? Potentially due to Burnley's playing style.
Yeah.
And the fact that Sean Dyche is easily a candidate for manager of the season, let's not forget. City have just won the title, but Sean Dyche has done marvellous things to get Burnley into seventh place, and they might even pip Arsenal to sixth.
Yeah.
But yes, could Nick Pope playing in a different system where he is going to be exposed a little bit more on those channels in the centre and not going to be blocked as much, is he actually fallible to this? We don't know. So that's why for me he's the third choice keeper. And yes, let's be honest, we're never really using the third choice keeper, are we?
Yeah.
So Butlin goes in at number two. I just think he offers a nice sort of balance, like you said, between Pickford and Pope. Got a decent saves. He has had a few wobblies here and there, and he probably hasn't played quite as much as he would have liked to. He's had a bit of time up for injury, but for me the number one is Jordan Pickford. And I think he showed that brilliantly during the Holland game. I think it was from his pass where he was sort of at the right wing back position at the beginning of the move, which eventually led to England scoring. And I think this whole adage that the goalkeeper is the first attacker is perfectly good with Jordan Pickford. His ability to kick the ball out of the hand is pretty spectacular. I've not really seen anyone do it, you know, that sort of side foot kick that you get out of the hand. He's brilliantly accurate, and with someone like Kane up top, or the pace of, I don't know, any one of the attacking midfielders that we have to our disposal, that's a really dangerous weapon. So would it those are my three.
Having watched Pepe Reina for years at Liverpool, Pickford's distribution reminds me a bit of that. I remember for years and years Reina would be kicking the ball out in the same style that he does, out of one hand, side footing it long distances and then straight over the top of defences to the feet of Torres or Gerrard or one of our players at that point, and it really did make attacks so much easier, because obviously counter attacks the easiest point to find weaknesses in defence in football, and when you've got that starting with the keeper straight away, it actually infuriates me watching Liverpool now with Karius that he's really slow when he decides to throw the ball about. So I think it is important that we do get that quick movement going out from the back, and Pickford, as you said, is perfect for that. And just going back to one thing you were saying on the Nick Pope stuff, which I think was fantastic with all those stats on Burnley's season, it's often put at goalkeepers as whether they have to keep their concentration over time, because obviously the top keepers at the top clubs aren't busy all the time because they've got fantastic teams in front of them that dominate in possession and aren't actually having to defend for that longer periods. So it'll be interesting. I'm not saying England are going to be like that at the World Cup. It's difficult to see us doing that to Belgium, but against some of the slightly smaller teams, Nick Pope's probably untested in those situations where he's got to just keep his concentration when he's not been busy for a long time.
You say that, but then in terms of shots on target face, quite neatly, it does actually have this metric what I'm looking at. Jack Butland, 182. Jordan Pickford, 165. What do you reckon, Nick Pope, higher or lower than that?
I'd, out of just what Everton and Burnley, I'd say about the same.
So Pickford is 165, like I said. Nick Pope, 125.
Wow.
So almost two thirds of what Jordan Pickford have faced, and let alone Jack Butland.
Yeah.
So again, it sort of backs up my point that Burnley were very good at shutting down the channels and forcing shots off target with blocks, etc., etc.
Yeah.
But it does also kind of imply that Pope can stay awake and save the ones that he needs to with that 80% save success rate. So, you know, he's a good call. He's a good shout. If it wasn't Pickford being quite so far ahead and the experience of Butland, he's a good keeper. He's a good keeper, and weirdly I feel fairly comfortable with our three goalkeeping options, whereas before in the last sort of three tournaments we've just had Joe Hart and pretty much nothing else. Ben Foster is gone, Fraser Forster has gone, but
it's worth actually mentioning Tom Heaton as well, because I think he would have definitely, before the start of the season, obviously no one really knew about Nick Pope. He's kind of a one season wonder that's had an absolutely fantastic season and will deserve his place in the squad if he does get picked. But if Tom Heaton hadn't got injured, we wouldn't have discovered Pope, and Heaton probably would have been that third choice himself after being so good the season before.
That's very true, but would Joe Hart look good at Burnley? He might do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe Sean Dyche is the goalkeeper whisperer, like Poch is the fullback whisperer. So yeah, I think we're fairly sorted with goalies. We both agree on our order, so good. Not much contention there. Let's move on to, what do you want to do, fullbacks or centre-backs?
Should we start fullbacks?
Let's start fullbacks. Right, so my starting right-backs, oh no, not my starting right-backs, my fullbacks will be...
Yeah.
Walker, Trippier, Rose and Bertrand. Not entirely surprising, but there is a notable omission from that list. Chris, do you want to give me yours?
So mine are exactly the same as yours, other than Trent Alexander-Arnold for Trippier.
I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. it was difficult for me. That was kind of the only contention that I had. In the squad, because let's be honest, Walker is being considered a centre back by Southgate. That's what he's played him as in the last couple of games. It's an interesting experiment.
It is.
Then what do you do? Because in my mind, Trippier is very good at crossing the ball. And he's very good at sort of that first time cross from a crossfield ball over to the right hand side, and he's got all the energy and that sort of stuff. But Trent Alexander-Arnold has been brilliant the last few weeks.
Yeah,
he has been absolutely outstanding, especially twice against Sane, who's no slouch and is pretty good. Trippier, he's a good defender, but I've not watched enough of Trent Alexander-Arnold to say whether or not he is. Did he just overperform in those couple of games, or has he consistently shown he's good as a defender, never mind just an attacking presence?
Yeah, so he's definitely better going forward. There's no doubt about that, which is quite usual for a young kid coming in, I guess. Just for them to get used to defending at such a high level can be quite a big step up. And it is true that he's hit form at possibly the right time, and definitely the right time for Liverpool. Those were two of his best games this season against Sane. And he had another blinder against Bournemouth on the weekend, putting in a fantastic cross for Salah's goal. So going forward, I think, well, they're both fantastic fullbacks going forward, aren't they? That put in really good balls for their clubs every single week. So they're pretty equal on that front. Defensively, I think Trent's learnt a huge amount in the short space of time that he's had in the team. And I think that might be the thing that goes against him, possibly, is that he is so young and it is only his first season properly at the top level, whereas Trippier has been there and done it for longer. So whether you'd want to chuck in a kid with less experience that could possibly have a rabbit in the headlights moment at such a big tournament. As you mentioned, if you're definitely going to start playing Walker as more of a centre-back, you will probably want a more experienced head at right-back to be your first choice, rather than just chucking Alexander-Arnold straight in. So it is a very difficult call, because Trippier is a very consistent full-back, as you know, having watched him most of the time for Spurs. But I just get excited by Trent Alexander-Arnold, because I think it might be too soon for him, but I think I could see him being England's right-back for quite a few years now.
There is a case for me to... The centre-backs is a different conversation. It depends what you define Walker as. For me, he's a right-back.
Yeah.
But entirely depends on the formation that we take. Because if we play three centre-backs, then the full-back doesn't need to be a full-back, really. He just needs to be a wing-back.
Yeah.
In that case, Trent Alexander-Arnold might get the nod for me. But he goes alongside Trippier.
Yeah.
It's quite intriguing. But Rose and Bertrand for me are the only two left backs I can even think of, let alone the rest.
Yeah.
Delph has played left back, Young has played left back, and left back by trade. I don't think Rose has even been that good since he's come back from injury. But
yeah, I'm guessing, well, they've started playing Walker there more, because I guess that they're looking for the balance of having slightly more pace in that. Those three centre backs, because it could leave yourself quite open if you've not got much pace at the back there, and we are playing a wing back system. But as you're saying, if you are then picking Walker as a centre back, you then have to have two full backs definitely taken, so you might have room to take both of them, and you then have to have two left backs as well.
Okay, while we're at it, I'm just going to take you through my centre backs, what I currently have at the moment. But this is liable to change depending on what side we go with for our formation of the England team. Okay, so at the moment I've got Stones, Maguire, Mawson, and Tarkowski. But I'm more than happy to drop Tarkowski if Walker's going to be the auxiliary centre back, if you like. But that sort of changes my entire team, because the way my team works is all dependent on one player. So we'll chat about this later. But Tarkowski was a very much the big maybe of my entire squad. I was grasping for another centre back given the formation I was playing, but we can chat through it later.
So let me give you the list very helpfully, and we'll put it on our extra reading list. There's a really good squad selector on Sky Sports that I helped use to look at all of the different players that we could possibly select. So as my centre back options that I considered, not the ones that I actually chose in the end, I had John Stones, Gary Cahill, Harry Maguire, Phil Jones, Chris Smalling, Michael Keane, Ben Mee, Alfie Mawson, Lewis Dunk, and James Tarkowski. A lot of those do rule themselves out straight away, but those are the ones that are listed by Sky as the possible selections. I totally agree with you that this was one of the harder positions to select. And another name that I actually, interestingly, was selected as a centre-back on the list was Eric Dier. So I wanted to raise this with you, whether you thought it would be a good option to play Dier as a centre-back so that we could play the ball out better from the back, as he'd be the middle guy, almost acting as the as he does for Spurs and drops in between the two centre-halves and helps with the distribution. Or whether you'd rather just see him in a central midfield role, because that, as you say, that will affect how we're going to set up the team with the formation.
So, for me, Dier is a holding midfielder, but drops back. Yeah. So he is, for Spurs, he plays one of two things. He plays as a starting centre back, or he plays as a midfielder who drops back to make a three.
Yeah.
In possession, but yeah, out of possession, he might push up a bit more.
Yeah, he just comes back in front to cover them.
It depends on who they're playing, but he for me is probably, if not the key player in this team, he's a very vital cog for making it work. And that transition will be super important, because I think England will do well to play on the counter, especially like assuming we get through the groups.
Yeah,
you know, I think that our chances lie by playing on the counter, and having somebody like that who's positionally aware,
yeah,
enough to know when to go forward and know when to hang back is vitally important. So while I don't consider him as a centre back, he's essentially going to be playing centre back for half the time, if you like, for me, because I think he is better in midfield. He's a bit fallible sometimes in centre back with literally passing it to the opposition.
Yeah,
he did that against City, I think, at some point. But yeah, he definitely plays for me.
And do you think he suits that system, if it's going to be three at the back and then him maybe sitting in front of it? Do you think that's not too defensive for how we're going to look to play?
I don't think we'll play three at the back if Dier's playing under three at the back. So the way we'll chat about my formation later, but Dier is coming, basically.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, but he's not starting as a centre back.
Okay.
But yeah, you make an interesting point. Like, all of this has got to come with the caveat of, okay, what if this player gets injured? What if that player gets injured?
Yeah.
But for me, Stones and Maguire are probably our two best centre backs.
100% agree.
Dier can go in the brackets between them. It's a big shame about Michael Keane, because I was very hopeful for him at the beginning of the summer getting moved to Everton, but Everton have been absolutely shocking.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think left back's not a brilliant position either. We're very weak at centre back, obviously. Left back with Rose is not really performed that much, and Bertrand, who's basically going down with Southampton.
The other guys that I had on my list were Aaron Cresswell from West Ham, who's not had a fantastic season, as you've mentioned, but has previously shown pretty good form. And then the other big bolter, which we haven't mentioned yet, was Ryan Sessegnon. Fulham. Whether you'd want to chuck a 17-year-old kid in there, I'm pretty sure you wouldn't. But if we, as you say, if you get an injury to Rose or Bertrand, I'm not sure how much choice you're going to have, because we haven't got that many good left backs.
Right. So I hadn't really considered this, but I'll take you through some thoughts, because I've thought a lot about Ryan Sessegnon in my life, because I do love him on Football Manager. I always get him. He's just the first thing I go to. Like, oh, I'm going to need a left back at some point. I'll just get Ryan Sessegnon for nothing. Obviously, that won't be the case from now on, because his price will go through the roof, and he'll probably move to, I don't know, United. But so Ryan Sessegnon's interesting, because he's essentially playing as a left winger for Fulham. But he does have, he's shown the aptitude of playing wing back at points, or even full back, and he definitely has the legs to do it.
Yeah.
The Championship is not the Premier League. I think it's a lot more competitive than the Premier League, and it's longer than the Premier League. And I would be so tempted, if I was actually the England manager, and it would be at my actual job to go and watch him at points, I'd be very tempted to throw him in. But then that means a Premier League stalwart in Rose or Bertrand, or maybe one of the midfielders, has to miss out.
Yeah.
While I'm not against that, I think the negatives that you're going to get with that, if it doesn't work, are going to be huge.
Yeah, you're going to get a huge backlash for picking someone unknown, aren't you?
Yeah. I'd be very tempted. It's probably just a year too early. I'm not going to do a Walcott on him. I don't want to ruin his career.
You don't want to give him that label, do you, that early?
No, exactly. He's already been labelled pretty highly, considering he's in the Young Player of the Year shout for the PFA awards.
So what do you think the odds are that he'll stay at Fulham? I think they're pretty low, aren't they?
Depends if Fulham go up. If Fulham
go
up,
I suppose so.
Maybe. Yeah, but we're a little way off. This we're recording on the 17th of April, so we're a little way off finding that out. But I think we're fairly agreed on our defence, essentially. We're taking four or maybe five centre-backs, depending on who classifies as one of those. And then Walker, Trippier, or... Wait, no, we didn't agree on Walker or Trippier or Trent Alexander-Arnold, did we? Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe we don't have to agree. We can leave that in the air. They're very close.
We can put Trippier / TAA.
Yeah, we can. But then, yeah. It depends what formation we play.
I'll
get rid of Tarkowski because I don't think he'll play at all, to be honest. Barring sort of major mishaps, and there's enough cover everywhere else for him not to go, so we can have... I'll get rid of Tarkowski for mine. I'll put Trent Alexander-Arnold. There we go. So proper centre backs we've got Stones, Maguire and Mawson, with Dyer filling in.
Do you think Mawson's good enough to get in there ahead of Phil Jones? Because few of the things I've seen, that Phil Jones has been mentioned as a candidate, and Gary Cahill, but obviously Cahill's been there and proven that he can't really do it.
Well, Cahill hasn't played.
Yeah,
I just don't see him going. Southgate hasn't played him at all either recently. Mawson has played. He looks good. He's in a... I've had this conversation with you, Chris, quite a few times before. In our very, very, very first attempt at recording a podcast, we didn't want to actually air this one because we were just having a go so I could practice editing. I was discussing how I really liked having centre-backs and goalkeepers who have been tested all season going to a major championship, because it means that if you actually come under that pressure, they're used to it and they know how to deal with it. And I think Mawson fits that category. He's very good from set pieces. We've seen that. He's scored quite a few crucial goals for Swansea. And he's a ball-playing centre-back. He sits nicely between your old Bruiser and John Stones, if you like. I think he's quite a nice balancing act for Maguire in the centre, who can actually also play the ball as well.
Yes. You could have easily been describing Maguire there.
I could have been, but yeah. I think Mawson is defensively more solid than Maguire, but I'm taking both anyway in my mind.
Yeah. And Maguire's ahead in the pecking order, so Mawson would just be the squad player.
Yeah, he would.
Okay. Another guy that I wanted to mention in dispatches was Joe Gomez, if he'd actually if he'd remained fit. Obviously he's been injured for a little bit, but I thought for his form and for how well he played in the Brazil game, particularly for England, I thought he was going to be a worthy shout at that point, but unfortunately injury might have come at the wrong time for him. Also for his versatility, because he could easily have played in a back three if you needed him to, or he could play as a right wing back because he's played well for Liverpool there.
Yeah, unfortunately, Walker has shown that he's capable of playing that right centre-back role. Otherwise, there would be a shout for having him in there.
Yeah.
Still, but like you say, he's been injured, and we don't know what the current status with him really is. So,
yes,
Joe Gomez was certainly in my thoughts before he got injured, but since he's not really come back, I'm afraid not. It's just the way the cookie crumbles. So, that's defence sorted. We'll recap all this later, I think. We better go through it. So midfield, I think we're going to have some interesting conversations here. Maybe not that interesting. It might be really easy. So give me your midfield. I've got eight players in my midfield, so this might take a while. Yeah.
Check how many I've got. Yeah, I think I've got eight as well. Dele Alli, easily. Jesse Lingard, Raheem Sterling, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Jordan Henderson, and now we start getting controversial.
Yeah.
Jack Wilshere, Jonjo Shelvey, Danny Drinkwater.
So, right. So my midfield, Dyer, he's coming in as one of my midfielders. Henderson, Alli, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Ashley Young, Fabian Delph, Jesse Lingard, and then I put Shelvey / Wilshere because I don't want both of them.
Okay.
I'll have one of them. And I was willing to debate either way. I think I've gone a bit heavy on Young or Delph, but my predicament was our left backs aren't very good. Let's have another one spare just in case you chuck Young on a left back and just see what happens, sort of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, because those guys obviously both wing backs that you'd want to play them as. You wouldn't really want to play them in the central midfield role. But you could, if you were desperate, play Delph there because he's played there before. But both of those have been wing backs.
My gut with Delph was he's quite dynamic. And tenacious defensively, and we don't have a player who's got quite a bit of pace to get back in the midfield. That was the only reason I had him in the squad. I don't see myself ever playing him, but I'll have him in the squad. But like I say, I'm happy to just shift him out.
It depends how far forward you want to play the Ox, because he is quick enough to do exactly what Delph does in covering back. He's shown that in the last few weeks. But then you might not want to strangle him playing him further back. You may want to play him slightly further forward. But we've got so many good attacking midfielders that I don't think he'd get a go if you were playing him further forward.
Yeah, so the Ox is quite similar for me to Lingard.
Yeah.
They're not starting.
Yeah.
Lingard, actually, since a conversation we had very recently, I've started to like him a little bit more. He's still not starting for me.
Yeah.
But they're both dynamic. They're both quick. They're both sort of nibbly good pressers, but also have some real quality behind them, especially from outside the area, which, if they're coming on, we're going to be needing goals, aren't they?
Yes.
Having two players who can fire some shots out from outside the area, which for me Sterling doesn't really do, is quite a nice option to have.
Definitely.
Let's go, Danny Drinkwater. What?
Yes. Why?
What? Yeah. What?
He wouldn't be in my starting team. He'd be there as a squad player. I think he does a very good job of knitting things together. So in a squad where, if obviously they train together and they've played together for a majority of the season with England, but they are largely still thrown together as a squad for the World Cup, I think he's a player that could keep things going if you needed, with an injury, or you needed him to come on and fill a gap at some point. I think he's one of those players that could fill a hole in midfield for you quite easily.
He just hasn't been close to the England squad at all recently, and to throw him in to knit the whole thing together if we lose somebody just feels like quite a weird proposition. I know what you're saying. Him as a player suits that quite nicely, but he's just not really played enough. He's not done that.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair argument. And it would only be because of an injury that you chuck him in there. But I think. Him being even on the recognition list shows how weak we are for depth in this position, because as you've mentioned before, your love for Harry Winks, it would have been fantastic to hear for him to be that option instead of Drinkwater to come on and fill that gap, but he's just been injured at the wrong time like other people.
So I may as well admit it now, in our podcast that we had, we pretended to make at the beginning of the whole thing, I said Winks would go to the World Cup, and it looked for quite a while like I was going to be right,
yeah.
And then he got himself injured, and he just hasn't really got back into the Tottenham fold since, with the recurrence of injuries and stuff like that. But the reason why I said it is that, for me, if they're not going to start, players have to fulfil one of two very distinct roles. They either have to come on and shut a game down, or they need to change the game with dynamism and be able to find a pass, essentially.
Yeah.
And Winks can do both those things. He was, whenever he came on for Dembele at the sort of tail end of last season, beginning of this season, he was excellent at just shutting down games, ticking his passes along, spreading them forwards, sideways, just keeping that tempo going, keeping it nice and clean and tidy.
And for that exact reason, he would have been perfect. But,
yeah, it's a shame he's not in the reckoning, and he's not in my squad because he just hasn't played. But yeah, I get what you're saying about Drinkwater, but I also can't even slightly fathom it. So
other players that were in the same sort of bracket as Winks, if Lallana had played more this season, I'd have had him in my squad. But like him, he's been injured for too long, so I don't think he could have been considered. Other people that were on this Sky Sports list that slightly baffled me were Theo Walcott. I thought no chance. Ross Barkley, Ruben Loftus-Cheek gave me a little bit of thought because he has been playing well, but I still think he's not quite experienced enough to be able to take him and rely on him in that situation. And the other one was Lewis Cook from Bournemouth. I don't want to rely on a player of his age.
So Lewis Cook is an interesting player for me. In a lot of ways, I prefer him to Shelvey and Wilshere. He's not anywhere near as much as a, I was going to say, let's call it phallus. I think I can say that without intervening or contravening the rules of Audio Boom. But I keep saying, the players that I want, they need to do a job both ways. They can either come on and shut a game down, or they come and win it. And I think Shelvey and Wilshere come on and win it. They don't start for me. They don't even come close to starting. But Shelvey is quite unpredictable. He can rally them in from 30 yards. Wilshere can play brilliantly.
Can play passes that a lot of midfielders can't, and they can open the defence for you. But at the same time, they've both got a moment of madness in them where they can both get sent off for something stupid, which could end our tournament. But I'm with you. I think if I'm the England manager, I take the risk. Well, you're saying one of the two of them. I had both of them in there. I was rolling the dice doubly.
I think the reason why I can't take them both is because Young has been pretty brilliant. He has played really well for Man United this season. And I think that, I know he's played as a left wing back.
Yeah.
But do you remember how he was playing when he was a sort of an inside forward on the left hand side for Man United and just constantly getting crosses in that sort of first couple of seasons he was there? There's no reason why he can't still do that. Okay, his pace might have gone a bit, but it's not gone enough to not be considered a left wing back, especially with his wrong foot. And I think what Southgate wants to do to an extent is mimic the Guardiola style of wing back and actually have them become auxiliary central midfielders quite a lot, which is why Walker's in the squad, because he's so used to playing as an inverted wing back.
Yeah.
He can just cut Stroll forward into midfield if he needs, and then use his pace to recover as a centre back if he needs. So Young is an interesting option there. It's very niche, he's going
to
fill.
Are you taking Delph and Young to fulfil both, or do you think they do slightly different
things?
They do
different jobs for me.
Okay.
I don't need to take both. I was just struggling for options, and I didn't want to take both Shelvey and Wilshere. But I'll boot one of the two for one of the two of or both of Shelvey and Wilshere. But I just don't see them both playing. I don't see them both being fit and not suspended and all this sort of stuff to be considered to go in the England squad. I think Wilshere is more likely, but I really, after the Euros in 2016, where he had literally played like about 30 seconds, and pretty much I was as qualified as a professional footballer in that previous year to go and play in the World Cup as Wilshere was.
Yeah.
I can't take him on this World Cup where he might deserve it. I'm quite petty. You might have worked this one out.
You're still holding that against him still.
Yeah, I am. He was a liability, and you know the picture of him crumpled at the end of that game against Iceland really sticks with me. It's the only player I remember from that game, and I was just getting so angry with him not being able to string a pass together, because you know he was meant to be the midfielder of a generation, and in like two games of playing, Ali surpassed his goals and assists for England. So
yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll tell you what I've done then for our midfield. I've put Wilshere / Young.
Yeah.
And I've put Delph in there with Shelvey, Henderson, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Sterling, Lingard, Ali and Dier.
Okay, so you've gone who / who?
I've gone Wilshere / Young, so we need to take one of them.
Being honest, Young isn't going. If Shelvey's going, Young isn't for me.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll get rid of Young. I'll put a comma between Shelvey and Wilshere, even though I hope it doesn't happen, but it'd be quite interesting because it does fit my philosophy of players who come and change a game. And so often we've just lacked ideas and we've just bought essentially the same players in reserve who are just a bit worse.
Yeah.
But Shelvey and Wilshere offer something completely different to what the rest of the team offers us.
No, from that point of view, I'm actually really excited about our squad, because the subs that we have available could, as you say, come on and really change the game, whereas we've not had that for ages, depth of player that could actually make a difference.
100%. Right, let's move on to where we're actually going to win the bloody tournament. So up front, there's not going to be much contention with this, I don't think. How many have you got? You've got four.
I've got four, yeah.
Yeah, Kane, Sterling, Rashford and Vardy.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, sweet. Easy. That is where we win it. Vardy is not going to start. He's going to be on the bench. But the brilliant thing about our midfield is the fact that the Ox, Lingard, arguably Wilshere, Young if he was going, they could all slot into one of those two attacking slots on either side, taking Rashford or Sterling's place, and equally Sterling or Rashford could go up front, or Vardy could go up front as well. So the plethora of options that we have up there is alarming. But for me, Vardy's on the bench, Kane, Sterling,
definitely.
Rashford start.
I had that myself. So to be able to bring on Lingard, Vardy or Sterling in a situation, I think that's what excites me. We do have people there that can bring them on and we can get a goal without us having to bring someone like Jermaine Defoe.
Defoe was good for England, as was Crouchy. I rated them both.
I know.
It's just we just live in a different world where strikers are not that player anymore. They're not a tall, lanky guy, and they're not a poacher. They've sort of got to do a bit of everything.
Defoe was still close to getting in my squad for the amount of goals that he scores.
Really?
Genuine.
Get out of it, mate. Nah. Right, okay, so now we sorted the squad as a whole, haven't we?
Yes, the only other person I wanted to mention as a striker was Danny Welbeck. I thought he was slightly close to getting in.
Yeah.
If we were picking Sterling as a midfielder, which I had in my squad, I'd have had Welbeck as my full striker.
Really?
Yeah.
Welbeck, he breaks a lot.
Yeah.
He plays well for England. He was one of the keys to Hodgson's England. But we have too much quality up there. I don't want to sacrifice an actual midfielder and put Sterling there because he doesn't work quite so well as a midfielder, in quotes, because let's move on to what we're actually going to talk about now, which is going to be the formation.
Yeah.
So for me, it's a 4-3-3.
Yeah.
But not really. It's a 4-3-3. What was that? That's out of possession. And then in possession, it's a 3-5-3 or whatever. I can't do the maths there. A 3-4-3. There you go.
3-4-3.
Okay. Jesus. 3-5-3. What am I on about? Yeah, so it's a 3-5-3 in possession, essentially, with the wing backs bumming on Dyer, sort of dropping back, and then Stones, Maguire, or Dyer filling up if they need to, and entering into midfield. So that's what my formation is, which sort of changes that you see where I was coming from with Walker, Trippier versus Trent Alexander-Arnold,
because. Yes.
For me, Dyer is a centre-back, but not playing as a centre-back, but playing as a centre-back, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
What about your... What's your formation?
So, originally, I had a 3-5-2 for that reason, but obviously, two of those five would be more like a 3-2-3-2.
Okay.
Well,
that's interesting. So, you're two up top.
Yeah.
Okay, you're gonna have to draw this out for me. Say you're 3-2-3-2.
Yeah.
Who's in it?
So let me start my centre backs for you. It would be Walker, Stones, Maguire as your centre backs. Then I'd have Rose and who are we saying, Trippier for right back. And then in your three midfielders, I had Henderson, Dyer, and Ali.
Mm.
And then as my two strikers, I had Kane, and then one of Rashford or Sterling, just playing off. Ooh. Kane.
Okay, so you basically picked another centre back, essentially, I've picked both Sterling and Rashford, where you picked another centre back.
Yeah.
I think play the team with where your best players are, and we're not strong at centre back, and we've got enough on the bench in terms of midfielders to be able to play Sterling and Rashford and change things if they get taken off. We've changed on both sides, and we still got enough to bring on Vardy still. So
does that mean in your when out of possession, Walker plays more as
he's
a
right back.
He's a right back.
Okay. Yeah, he's a right back.
So he's not a wing back at all.
Well, he's a right wing back in possession.
Yeah.
Out of possession, he's a right back, like he was at Spurs. Essentially,
so he could actually be the most vital cog of the whole team.
I think he's just a better player than he was at Spurs. He's gone up a level, and fair enough. You know, I didn't really begrudge him moving to City. You know, fair enough. You gave us some good years. You were kind of average at points. You were outstanding.
I didn't think he was worth the money that he went for at the time. But he's
clearly
that he
proved,
has got better.
Yeah, he's clearly proved it, and I think he still would be a very effective right back, right wing back, despite his new tendencies to drift into midfield, because you know we still need that presence. In my mind, Sterling is playing as an inside forward on the one side and interchanging with Rashford on the other, and Walker has to be bombing up because we don't have that direct threat down that side if they're going in field. So for me, my starting 11 would be Pickford, Walker, Stones, Maguire, Rose, Dyer as the holding mid, then Ali and Henderson. Henderson for me is the one at the most risk of that team. In an England shirt recently, I've just not been convinced that the dynamism that I like hasn't really been there. I think he's a lot better in a Liverpool shirt than he is in an England shirt, but I'm willing to be convinced that's why he's in there.
What you'll get with him is he'll always give you 100%, so he will literally run his socks off for you to try and cover any gaps that someone out of position might be there. So we saw that in when we missed him, actually, and he was banned for the second leg of the Manchester City Champions League game. There just happen to be holes in the team that aren't normally there when Hendo's on the pitch, which you don't really notice until he's not there, if you see what I mean.
So when we're playing someone like Tunisia, I would be all up for not playing Henderson and playing someone like the Ox and essentially having a front five and a back five.
Yeah.
That's essentially what I would be going at.
Yeah.
And that would be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be harking right back to the old good old days of football where it was, the inverted pyramid, five up front and two at the back. But that'd be fun.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that you need to change your team on who you're playing, because we have been way too defensive when we've been playing minnows before, and it's just hindered the way that we can break them down.
So for me, that's my team, assuming we get out of the group stages and we end up playing France, for instance, where we'll be under the cosh, we'll have enough solidity, we'll have the dynamism, I don't mean dynamism, but the work rate of Henderson in the midfield, and then the stardom of the front four in Ali, Kane, Sterling and Rashford. So Ali is sort of a shuttling, roaming playmaker, if you like.
Yeah.
With Sterling and Rashford just pulling defenders out of the way for Kane and vice versa and all that lovely knottedness going on. So I think we essentially agree on our starting 11s, except for you put Trippier in, I put one of Sterling and Rashford in, essentially.
Yes.
So what I've heard quite a lot, we'll wrap this up, is that people are guessing about what this England team are going to be, and I think that's a fair point. You know, it's not the most clear cut England team there's ever been.
No,
but essentially 10 out of the 11 are players we agree on, and I think if a lot of people did this exercise like we have,
they'd struggle to disagree with us. Yeah,
they would struggle to disagree with us. And the annoying thing about World Cups is that there's always a big shock when somebody misses out or somebody's put in when people think they shouldn't have been in. If there's that much contention about them, they're probably not going to be starting.
Yeah.
And the best players England have are the sort of 12 that we were talking about. We're weak in areas, centre back, central midfield, left back, which is essentially the whole team, I know. But you can actually knit together a really good looking team with players who were not, that's not necessarily their first choice position, but they can play there well. Like Walker, he's not a centre back, but we can play him in centre back, which means that we can play Dier in midfield and all that, you know, that sort of thing. So there's the versatility in this England squad is something we've not really felt before.
Yeah.
Gerrard and Lampard couldn't even play together, and they were midfielders. So
I think that was, I genuinely think that was a myth. I think those two, had they been managed correctly, would have been sensational in the team together.
This is part of the point. I actually really rate Southgate as a manager. Yeah. I think he's very good. I think he's tactically very switched on. He's very calm and level-headed. He's not going to, you know, ban the players from talking to the media. He's done it all before as an England player. He knows all the pressures. I think that he's actually tactically quite switched on, and he's worked with a lot of these players at youth level. And with that comes the knowledge of what players can do in certain situations where they can play. Which means that this squad is a squad, literally, for the first time, I think, in the years gone by. Yes, we could have picked the starting 11 in every single tournament over the last sort of four goes. But this time there is a bit of ambiguity. And yes, you can shift him to play here and him to play here, which means that we're not an easy book to read. You can't necessarily just put 11 players behind the ball and hope, because what if we go five up top and you're 5-0 down after 20 minutes? It's the sort of team that could accidentally do that. And then do that against Belgium and then lose 3-0 to Tunisia. It's still got the England factor. It's exciting. I'm looking forward to it. There's no, I think we say there's always no pressure when there really is no pressure. I think we always say there is no pressure when there is a lot of pressure. There is some pressure, but not, you know, we're not expecting to win. But I back
as
us
long,
to get...
As long as we don't lose embarrassingly to Tunisia in a Iceland-style loss, I think the boys will have that sort of that less pressure that we don't need them to go and be world beaters and go and make it all the way to the final or something. We'd be happy with just getting out of the group and maybe winning a knockout game for the first time in a while.
Well, I'm going to back us to win the knockout game. I think we'll finally do it. I think Southgate switched on enough to not lose to somebody stupid.
Yeah.
And then we'll meet somebody difficult and we'll see what our metal is really made of. But I really like the look of this team. I think that given enough space, Ali, Sterling, Rashford will scare any team in the world. Yeah. I think if we're being under the cosh, then that will always be on the back of their minds. Ditto if Lingard, Ox, even Wilshere come on the pitch.
Yeah.
It's still a scary proposition. My concern is making sure that the goals don't go in the first place. I think that is going to be something tricky. But if Dyer and Henderson perform well in that sort of midfield centre-back axis along with Stones and Maguire, there's no reason why we can't go far in this tournament.
Yeah. The other thing to say is that it's a very inexperienced team, isn't it? And it's a very young team, so this could be our team for the next couple of tournaments if they perform well, and hopefully it is the start of something for these guys. And they haven't been to tournaments before, lots of them, where they've failed, so hopefully they don't have that stigma going in already.
One more thing about Pickford, he's very good at saving penalties.
Please,
no. He did it in the under-21s World Cup. He was excellent there.
You had to go mention the P word, didn't you?
I did. It wouldn't be an England podcast without talking about it. But anyway, that's the end of the Dugout Debate podcast, everybody. I hope you've enjoyed it. A little bit more lighthearted than our more recent ones. Let us know what you think about the team. Are we completely wrong? Should we be playing Jonjo Shelvey and Golden? Should Wilshere start up front? Or should we bring Carroll and Crouch? Just let us know what you think in the comments on the website, on Facebook, on Twitter, @Dugout_Debate, or even give us an email. Send us an email. Why not? Thanks very much, Chris.
Thanks very much, Timmy, and thanks for listening, guys.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.